Welcome to day 52 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible, reading Deuteronomy 1 through 3. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness on the plain opposite Suf between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. By the way of Mount Seir, it takes 11 days to reach Kadesh Barnea from Horeb. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the Israelites just as the Lord had commanded him to speak to them. This was after he had defeated King Sihon of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, and King Og of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei. Beyond the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound this law as follows. The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Resume your journey and go into the hill country of the Amorites as well as into the neighboring regions. The Arahab, the hill country, the Shephelah, the Negeb, and the seacoast. The land of the Canaanites and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them to their descendants after them." Appointment of tribal leaders. At that time I said to you, "I am unable by myself to bear you. The Lord your God has multiplied you so that today you are numerous as the stars of heaven. May the Lord, the God of your ancestors, increase you 1,000 times more and bless you as he has promised you. But how can I bear the heavy burden of your disputes all by myself? Choose for each of your tribes individuals who are wise, discerning, and reputable, and I will make them your leaders." You answered me, "The plan you have proposed is a good one." So I took the leaders of your tribes, wise and reputable individuals, and installed them as leaders over you, commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, commanders of fifties, commanders of tens, and officials throughout your tribes. I charged your judges at that time, "Give the members of your community a fair hearing and judge rightly between one person and another, whether kin or resident alien. You must not be partial in judging. Hear out the small and the great alike. You shall not be intimidated by anyone, for the judgment is God's. Any case that is too hard for you, bring to me and I will hear it." So I charged you at that time with all the things that you should do. Israel's refusal to enter the land. Then, just as the Lord our God has ordered us, we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites until we reached Kadesh Barnea. I said to you, "You have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has given the land to you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Do not fear or be dismayed." All of you came to me and said, "Let us send men ahead of us to explore the land for us and bring back a report to us regarding the route by which we should go up and the cities we will come to." The plan seemed good to me, and I selected 12 of you, one from each tribe. They set out and went into the hill country, and when they reached the Wadi Eshkol, they spied it out and gathered some of the land's produce, which they brought down to us. They brought back a report to us and said, "It is a good land that the Lord our God has given up us." But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, "It is because the Lord hates us and that he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites to destroy us. Where are we headed? Our kindred have made our hearts melt by reporting. The people are stronger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified up to heaven. We actually saw there the offspring of the Anakim. I said to you, have no dread or fear of them. The Lord your God who goes before you is the one who will fight for you, just as he did in Egypt before your very eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as one carries a child, all the way that you traveled until you reached this place. But in spite of this, you have no trust in the Lord your God who goes before you on the way to seek a place to seek out a place for you to camp, in fire by night and in the cloud by day, to show you the route you should take. The penalty for Israel's rebellion. When the Lord heard your words, he was wrathful and swore, not one of these, not one of these evil generation, you shall see the good land that I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his descendants I will give the land on which he set foot because of his complete fidelity to the Lord. Even with me, the Lord was angry on your account, saying, you also shall not enter there. Joshua, son of Nun, your assistant, shall enter there. Encourage him, for he is the one who will secure Israel's possession of it. And as for your little ones who you thought would become plunder, your children who today do not yet know right from wrong, they shall enter there. To them I will give it, and they shall take possession of it. But as for you, journey back into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. You answered me, we have sinned against the Lord. We are ready to go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us. So all of you strapped on your battle gear and thought it was easy to go up into the hill country. The Lord said to me, say to them, do not go up and do not fight, for I am not in the midst of you. Otherwise, you will be defeated by your enemies. Although I told you, you would not listen. You rebelled against the command of the Lord and presumptuously went up the hill into the hill country. The Amorites who lived in that hill country then came out against you and chased you as bees do. They beat you down in Seir as far as Hormah. When you returned and wept before the Lord would neither heed your voice nor pay you any attention. The desert years. After you stayed at Kadesh as many days as you did, we journeyed back into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord had told me, and skirted Mount Seir for many days. Then the Lord said to me, you have been skirting this hill country long enough, head north, and charge the people as followed. You are about to pass through the territory of your kindred, the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir. They will be afraid of you, so be very careful not to engage in battle with them, for I will give you even so much as a foot's length of hair. Or I will not give you even so much as a foot length of hair. Of their land, since I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall purchase food for them from money so that you may eat, and you shall also buy water for them for money so that you may drink. Surely the Lord your God has blessed you in all your undertakings. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. So we passed by our kin, the descendants of Esau who live in Seir, leaving behind the route of the Arahab and leaving behind Eloth and Azion Geber. When we headed out along the route of the wilderness of Moab, the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab or engage them in battle, for I will not give you any of its land as a possession, since I have given Ar as a possession to the descendants of Lot. The Emim, a large and numerous people as tall as the Anakim, had formerly inhabited it. Like the Anakim, they are usually reckoned as Rephaim, and the Moabites call them Emim. Moreover, the Horim had formerly inhabited Seir, but the descendants of Esau dispossessed them, destroying them and settling in their place, as Israel had done in the land that Lord gave them as a possession. Now then, proceed to cross over the Wadi Zered. So we crossed over the Wadi Zered, and the length of time we had traveled from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Wadi Zered was 38 years, until the entire generation of warriors had perished from the camp, as the Lord had sworn concerning them. Indeed, the Lord's own hand was against them to root them out from the camp until they all perished. Just as soon as all the warriors had died off from among the people, the Lord spoke to me, saying, today you are going to cross the boundary of Moab at Ar. When you approach the frontier of the Ammonites, do not harass them or engage them in battle, for I will not give the land of the Ammonites to you as a possession, because I have given it to the land to the descendants of Lot. It also is usually reckoned as a land of Rephaim. Rephaim formerly inhabited it, though the Ammonites call them Zamzumim, a strong and numerous people as tall as the Anakim. But the Lord destroyed them from before the Ammonites so that they could possess them and settle in their place. He did the same for the descendants of Esau who live in Seir, by destroying the Horites before them so that they could dispossess them and settle in their place even to this day. As for the Avim, who had lived in settlements in the vicinity of Gaza, the Kaphortim, who came from Kaphtor, destroyed them and settled in their place. Proceed on your journey and cross the Wadi Arnon. See, I have handed over to you King Shihon, the Amorite of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to take possession by engaging him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the people everywhere under heaven. Because they hear report of you, they will tremble and be in anguish because of you. Defeat of King Sihon. So I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to King Sihon of Heshbon with the following terms of peace. If you let me pass through your land, I will travel only along the road. I will turn aside neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money so that I may eat, and supply me water for money so that I may drink. Only allow me to pass through on foot, just as the descendants of Esau who lived in Seir have done before me, and likewise the Moabites who lived in Ir, until I cross the Jordan into the land of the Lord our God is giving us. But King Sihon of Heshbon was not willing to let us pass through, for the Lord your God had hardened his spirit and made his heart defiant in order to hand him over to you, as he has now done. The Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin now to take possession of his land. So when Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, for battle at Jahaz, the Lord our God gave him over to us, and we struck him down along with his offspring and all his people. At that time we captured all his towns, and in each town we utterly destroyed men, women, and children. We left not a single survivor, only the livestock we kept as spoil for ourselves, as well as the plunder of the towns that we had captured, from Aroer to the edge of the Wadi Arnon, including the town that is called the Wadi itself. As far as Gilead, there was no citadel too high for us. The Lord our God gave everything to us. You did not encroach, however, on the land of the Ammonites, avoiding the whole upper region of the Wadi Jabbok, as well as the towns of the hill country, just as the Lord our God charged. Defeat of King Og. When we headed up the road to Bashan, King Og of Bashan came out against us, he and all his people, for battle at Edrei. The Lord said to me, do not fear him, for I have handed him over to you along with his people and his land. Do to him as you did to King Sihon of the Amorites who reigned Heshbon. So the Lord our God also handed us over to us King Og of Bashan and all his people. We struck him down until not a single survivor was left. At that time we captured all his towns. There was no citadel that we did not take from them. 60 towns, the whole region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan, all these were fortress towns with high walls, double gates, and bars, besides a great many villages. And we utterly destroyed them as we had done to King Sihon of Heshbon, in each city utterly destroying men, women, and children. But all the livestock and plunder of the towns we kept as spoil for ourselves. So at that time we took from the two kings of the Amorites the land beyond the Jordan, from the Wadi Arnon to Mount Hermon. The Sidonians called Hermon Sirion, while the Amorites called it Senir. All the towns of the tableland, the whole of Gilead and all of Bashan, as far as Seleka and Edrei, towns of Og's kingdom and Bashan. Now only King Og of Bashan was left of the remnants of the Rephaim. In fact, his bed, an iron bed, can still be seen in Rabbah of the Ammonites. By the common cubit, it is 9 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. As for the land that we took possession of at the time, I gave to the Reubenites and Gadites the territory north of Aroer, that is on the edge of the Wadi Arnon, as well as half the hill country of Gilead with its towns. And I gave to the half tribe of Manasseh the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, Og's kingdom. The whole region of Argob, all that portion of Bashan, used to be called a land of Rephaim. Jair the Manassite acquired the whole region of Argob as far as the border of the Gashurites and the Maacathites, and he named them, that is, Bashan, after himself, Havoth Jair as it is to this day. To Machir I gave Gilead, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave the territory from Gilead as far as the Wadi Arnon, with the middle of the Wadi as a boundary, and up to the Jabbok, the Wadi being boundary of the Ammonites, the Arabah also with the Jordan and its banks, the Chinnereth down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Dead Sea with the lower slopes of the Pisgah on the east. At that time I charged you as follows: although the Lord your God has given you this land to occupy, all your troops shall cross over armed as the vanguards of your Israelite kin. Only your wives, your children, and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall stay behind in the towns that I have given you to you. When the Lord gives rest to your kindred, just as to you, and they also have occupied the land that the Lord your God is giving them beyond the Jordan, then each of you may return to the property that I have given you. And I charged Joshua as well at that time, saying, your own eyes have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to these two kings, so that the Lord will do all the kingdoms in which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. Moses views Canaan from Pisgah. At that time, too, I entreated the Lord, saying, O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servants your greatness and your might, what God in heaven or on earth can perform deeds and mighty acts like yours. Let me cross over to see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country and the Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not heed me. The Lord said to me, enough from you, never speak to me of this matter again. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look around you to the west, to the north, to the south, and to the east. Look well, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, because it is he who shall cross over at the head of this people, and who shall secure their possession of the land that you will see. So we remain in the valley opposite Beth Peor. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? The first movement of Deuteronomy involves Moses speaking to the people of Israel at the edge of the Jordan River, referring to them as if they are the same as their ancestors who died in the wilderness. The generation who was delivered by God out of Egypt is not able to enter into the promised land. Are there things in your life that you have access to through who came through those who came before you, yet they did not get to experience them? Now let's move to 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be further clothed with our heavenly dwelling. For surely when we have been clothed in it, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. The one who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a down payment. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive due recompense for actions done in the body, whether good or evil. The ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade people, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for the ones who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made the one who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we entreat you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. Look, now is the acceptable time. Look, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, in great endurance, afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger, and purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet as well known, as dying and look, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children, open wide your hearts also. The temple of the living God. Do not be mismatched with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and lawlessness have in common? Or what partnership is there between light and darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belair? Or what does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean, then I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of flesh and spirit, and making holiness perfect in the fear of God. Paul's joy at the church's repentance. Make room in your heart for us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. I do not say this to condemn you, for I have already said that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. I am being completely frank with you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with consolation. I am overjoyed in all our affliction. For even when came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted in every way, disputes without and fears within. But God, who consoles the downcast, consoled us by the arrival of Titus, and not only by his arrival, but also by the consolation with which he was consoled about you. As he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice still more. For although I grieved with you my letter, I do not regret it. Although I did regret, for I see that the letter caused you grief, though only briefly. Now I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance, for you felt a godly grief so that you were not harmed in any way by us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret, but worldly grief produces death. For what For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourself guiltless in this matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not on account of the one who did the wrong, nor on account of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your zeal for us might be made known to you before God. In this we have found consolation. In addition to our own consolation, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus, because his mind has been set at rest by all of you. For if I have been somewhat boastful about you to him, I was not put to shame. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting to Titus has proved true as well. And his heart goes out all the more to you as he remembers the obedience of all of you, and how you welcomed him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? In this section, we read about a ministry of reconciliation. Paul states, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." What comes to mind when hearing ministry of reconciliation? What does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.